Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners. And tonight we have a table for four in the Foss Arms, because there's myself, Tim, there's Killer, good evening.
Good evening, Tim.
There's Norm, good evening.
Good evening.
And there's our old friend Hope is back. Hope is back at Leicester City. And given that we're recording this while Leeds United are playing shortly, Hope could do a twirl later on, Norm, and turn into expectation.
It could, or Hope could just vanish.
Die on its backside.
Like ruin our excitement, like mid-pubcast. So who knows which way that will go. I hope it goes well.
Yeah, so as I said, we're recording while Leeds are playing. You listeners have got the advantage of knowing the score. We don't. At the moment, things feel quite good off the back of a somewhat fortuitous win, Norm, against West Brom.
Yes, I think fortuitous is the word. I think the better team on the day definitely didn't come away with anything. But do you know what? I think that we've been a little bit unlucky at times in the last two or three games. So I kind of felt we were owed one of those games where a team did very, very well against us. We weren't at our best, but we ground out the result. We hung on. And what can I say? I was hoping that Mr. Choudhury wouldn't have been playing in the game, but he put in a man of the match performance with his sensational goal line clearances. Now, I think one of the issues with Choudhury in for me is that I'm not entirely sure he always knows where he should be playing. And I think that's one of the reasons why he actually ended up being my man of the match, because he just had to run around everywhere because he forgot where he was really meant to be. But those goal line clearances have absolutely saved the day for us. So Hamza, very, very, very well done. It was clearly going to be a difficult day, I thought, from the kickoff. It just, the way we started and the way they started, it just had that. I just had this horrible, horrible feeling in my stomach. I thought, oh no, this isn't going to turn out well. But after they'd been given the ball in the first minute and missed it, had a couple more chances, and failed to score. Hamza did one of his great saves on the line. It just started to think, well, maybe this is going to be our day. And sure enough, fast swinging a lovely, lovely cross in. Great header by Vardy. Ndidi, who did the one thing I thought he did well in the match, was score. I was disappointed to see him starting, to be honest. I was hoping that he would have been one of the players replaced. But he wasn't. Scored a goal. So again, well done. Well done, Wilf. But as normal, when we score, we don't kind of turn it into an easy game. It was a little bit more backs to the wall, similar in the second half. Hamza doing his best to keep us in the game again, but then Abdul finally did what he does often, which is beat his man, but put in a wonderful ball in for Vardy. And if we could do this more often, we would not be in the slightly precarious position we're in now, because it was a great goal. 2-0, looks like the game was over. But of course, the fact that we play how we do, and the right side always seems to be a little bit weak, and there's not the odd player that's not quite sure where they are. I won a great three ball for West Brom. A deserved goal just to keep us on tenterhooks till the end of the game, which is just what you expect from Leicester, isn't it? So, look, overall, absolutely, it's the result that matters. I'm not saying that it was actually quite a good game of football. I'm not saying we were bad, but West Brom, I think, played their best game of the season. They came with the five at the back, like other teams that we've struggled against have, and it just seemed to be the way to play against us. But I think the only criticism, not the only criticism, but I think one thing I would say on the end game management here is the timing of the subs. It was clear that some of the players were out on the feet, and it wasn't till the 82nd minute that Pratt came on for KDH. And I think that the changes, when West Brom made changes around the 70th minute, I think that would have been the time just to get some fresh legs on. But hey, we've won the game. It was exactly what we needed. And of course, with Cardiff getting a late win against Southampton, it was, or ended up certainly being, an excellent day. And as we were talking about hope, which hopefully today will get even better, because of course, if Leeds do lose, we have got the opportunity to seal promotion, haven't we? Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but we can but dream.
And even if they don't, Killer, then things are very much in our hands, aren't they? Needing to win two out of the last three. I don't know about you, Killer. You missed last week. I'd missed a couple of weeks before that. I found it a torturous experience, I have to say, because I'd missed quite a few games. How did you find being away? And you know, how do you feel compared to how you did when you were last on this show?
Well, the good news is we're running out of games. And obviously, as Norm has spoken about, we're at that point in the season where forget performances, it's all about results. And we've got one. And actually, there aren't too many times this season you can say that we've got a result where we probably didn't deserve it. Quite often, of the 10 games that we've lost, and it galls me even to say that number, of those, more often than not, we've been the better side. So we're at that point in the season where it doesn't really matter. It's all about getting points. I was astonished with how well West Brom played, but you know that's something different. And of course, there's that issue. I suppose as we go into the Southampton game, you know, we're going to need to play better. Apparently, against Cardiff, reading the match reports, they were in total control until Cardiff's equaliser. Probably should have been 2 or 3 up and had it put to bed. So it's going to be a difficult game. The Middlesbrough Leeds game, I would have preferred it if Middlesbrough had something riding on it. They haven't. They're miles off the playoffs. They're not going to make it now. Hopefully, it's just local pride, really. You know, we've had that in the past. Obviously, remember famously Chelsea doing us a favour when they had nothing riding on it. And who knows? But yeah, you're quite right, Tim. At this stage of the season, if it's in your hands, then you're in a strong position. Because, of course, we remember painfully, don't we, last season, that the weakness was when it was out of our hands. You can't do anything about it. You can't control your destiny. And as it happens in that situation, it turned out rather badly.
Yeah, just favourite parts of the match for me, Norm, that Hamza was just outstanding. I think one of them in a VAR world would have been a handball with the one he headed over the top, but the other two were incredible. I really enjoyed the scenes at the end of the game. I mean, him and Maresca, obviously, despite him not playing that much, I suppose he's probably played more than he thought he might this season, but not that much. Him and Maresca obviously have an incredibly close relationship. And it also came through at the end of the game of what a popular player he is. You know, even the subs that weren't playing were running up and pushing him in front of the cop to get his applause. Tom Cannon springs to mind. I really also enjoyed that whole end scene with the Free From Desire, Vardy's On Fire song and the Voulez-Vous for the Fatou song. I just thought the whole atmosphere at the end was fantastic. And the best part of all of it, I don't know if you saw, was Vardy in the middle of all this euphoria going over to the West Brom fans with his nasty little side that we love him for and informing them with his two digits print pointing down that they were staying down. I mean, he won't be able to walk into a pub anywhere other than Leicester once he finishes his career, will he?
He's got a special affinity towards West Brom. Have you noticed? Do you remember hilariously during lockdown when he scored at the Hawthorns and cupped his ears to the empty stand? I just thought that was probably the only highlight of an otherwise miserable 2 years.
And Norm, because we were talking, Norm, last week about team selection, I know you didn't want Ndidi to play, didn't have a great game, but he did score. But we did get Vardy back and then Daka just at the end.
Yeah, and that was the... Look, Vardy... did what Vardy does. I mean, obviously he missed the penalty, but you know that you forgive him him anything. These things happen. He played well. Obviously set up. Indeed, his goal scored. So it was from that angle. It was the right decision. I thought bringing Dakar on was a mistake all round. I mean, the lads struggled. Tom Cannon's clearly fit again. I do not understand why he was brought on in a pressure situation when we're hanging on to 2-1, knowing that the way he's playing at the moment, had West Brom equalised, we weren't going to be scoring another goal. And despite my disappointment, I wasn't one of the people that booed when he came on. And I think he's a young lad. It's not his fault. I'm hoping the booing was more towards Enzo for not bringing on Cannon rather than booing Dakar. But I thought that was a little bit classless from quite a lot of our fans, because it's, you know, that isn't what we're about. You know, we're at the business end of the season. We need to get behind the players, even if they're struggling, even if we don't want them to play, even if we think there are mistakes being made. We've got to back what we have. And, you know, it's not going to help a player like that, you know, coming on to the crowd behaving in that way, or parts of the crowd. So that left, I didn't like that at all. But thank goodness, still won the game. Job done.
Killer, just coming back to what you said, I agree with you entirely that at this stage of the season, clearly it's all about winning the game. And that is the only thing that matters, because we could have been having a very different conversation tonight if we'd lost that game. Should we, however, be concerned, you know, by, I mean, outclassed is probably pushing it, but, you know, Norm's, you know, you don't very often hear Norm saying we're too much negative about us, that we were clearly second best. Clearly issues with the subs again. And I'm only saying that because we've got a very nasty little fixture tomorrow evening and then two more that could well be quite important.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tim. It worries me. It worries me a lot. We're not talking... Look, this is the Championship. You look at it, Ipswich, Leeds, Southampton, they're reasonably good teams. At least one of those, maybe two of them, are going to be playing in the Prem next season. Apart from that, I think it's a very, very mundane league. And for a team like West Brom, who I think, you know, they're no great shakes, to come to our place and to boss the game and to create the chances that they did. Now, I agree, it worries me. There's lots going on at the football club that worries me, Tim. And I've said this over the course of the last few weeks. I don't want to sound overly negative. I suspect we will get promoted. We've just got so much, I think, that needs to be addressed. Fundamentally, we've got to ask ourselves the question whether or not we've got a man at the helm who is that person to address this. Otherwise, you know, if you think about that game on Saturday, how does that look if it's Ollie Watkins, Erling Haaland, Darwin Núñez running at the back line?
It's all right if it's Darwin Núñez.
Well, I'm not so sure about that, but
anyway. I think we can handle Núñez and Nicholas Jackson next year if we go up. Probably no one else though.
I think tomorrow's game becomes. It's easy to say it's going to be easier. I think the fact that Southampton lost, which almost puts them out of the picture, not completely, of course, but they've still got to play Leeds.
No, I've got to interrupt you there. I don't think it does, because they've got that game in hand, haven't they?
Well, they have, but it's, you know, okay. So if Leeds lose tonight, then I suppose they've still got something.
That's what I mean, yeah.
To play for, but if Leeds lose tonight, we only need to win one more out of the last three, don't we? So, you know, the bottom line is that's almost job. You know, so we should be able to relax a little bit more. My feeling is that Southampton losing to Cardiff puts them in a position where tomorrow's game becomes an absolute must win for them, and therefore they're not going to come playing five at the back. And I suspect that actually that may just help us a little bit. You know, the fact that we're going to be playing against a team that's happy to play football, happy to play keep ball, much like we are. And it'll be almost like a battle of who can keep the ball the most and pass it around the most. And I suspect we'll probably come out and win it. So I think it will work in our favour that they lost to Cardiff, and irrespective of what happens tonight. And if Leeds win tonight, I think that really does, you know, not like I say, not completely put them out, but it's very difficult to see them, you know, to see them getting promoted, or just let alone overtaking us.
Yeah, we did say that last week, Killer. In fact, Killer, last week you missed a little section that Norm and I did where we looked at the remaining fixtures for all four of the potential automatic promotion teams and came to and sort of came to a points total for each of them. So just to refresh you and the listeners, this is obviously pre-Leeds match tonight. We've got 91 points, Ipswich 89, Leeds 87 and Southampton 84, all off 43 games prior to Leeds' match. So, Killer, I had Leicester getting to 95 points, where Norm and I both thought we would beat West Brom. So I had us getting to 95 points and finishing second behind Ipswich on 96. And then I had Leeds third on 94 and Saints only getting to 91. Norm, what do you think Norm did, Killer?
Well, I'm guessing he's just gone for a full house of wins.
Yeah, which got us to a tidy 100 points, handily enough.
100 points, yeah, that would be nice. So you had us to beat West Brom, but to finish on 94, did you say, Tip?
I got us to 95. So
you're saying 4 points from the last three. I'm guessing you said that we'd beat Blackburn.
Correct, and drew with Preston.
And then lose to Southampton.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah,
that's what I'm not. The last time we had this conversation, Norm, it was you and I fighting over the last couple of port scratchings, going Millwall 1, Leicester 0.
Yeah.
I did remember, I had a wry smile when I was listening to you two chat.
Yes,
about
we that. All did. Let me assure you, I think the message I sent to Norm was it just compounds an already dreadful evening.
Yeah.
but it was a wry smile because, again, prior to this West Brom, you know, you have to remember the mood we were in. It was tough, wasn't it? So I had us finishing just behind Ipswich without going through the whole thing, Killer. Where would you, given where we are now, where would you see the top two?
Okay, well, put simply, I think it's going to be Leicester and Ipswich. I think we'll beat Southampton. I think we'll probably get a point at Preston. And, come on, Sheffield Wednesday just turned Blackburn over at home yesterday. They really haven't got anything to play for, have they? He says, well, maybe one win. I think the 7 points in the last three games for us.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope by then Blackburn wouldn't have anything to play for. So you'd go as an Ipswich, would you? Yeah, I mean, all three of the main teams play at home on the last day. So you're kind of thinking, you know, they're all going to be raucous atmospheres, aren't they, at their own grounds? It's Saints that are away. And of course, they're away at Leeds.
Which is absolutely massive. I think today's going to be a massive game for Leeds United. If Leeds United lose today, I think the bubble has burst for them royally, and it's playoffs. And I tell you what, going to be good in the playoffs, isn't it? Because it's going to be Leeds or Ipswich, assuming we don't go up. Southampton, West Brom, who obviously if they carry on playing like they did on Saturday, are going to fancy it, and Norwich, who have got a performance in them on their day, so should be a cracking playoff.
Yeah, I think Hull and Coventry have got, because Coventry have actually only played 42. They've got outside chances, but I think those two would have to win all their remaining games now, wouldn't they? Coventry have probably been undone by the FA Cup, as possibly of Ipswich, Killer, because we were saying, like, you know, Ipswich must be really kicking themselves not playing for 10 days now, mustn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's the chances this time of the season of a Championship team being in the FA Cup semi-final and you're playing them? I mean, you just wonder, don't you, whether or not that could be the thing when the dust settles that they could go, blimey, if only we had played that fixture when we should have done. So, interesting stuff.
Chance to get a couple of injuries back. Norm, we've criticised Enzo a bit for Saturday, as we do, as he keeps on making these apparent mistakes. I thought he would be too stubborn to play Cody, though, and it was, he did. How did you think he got on?
Oh, Cody did all right, but he played Cody. So, but again, it's like making a decision without making necessarily quite the right one, isn't it? Because the obvious thing would have been to bring Cody in for Fass rather than you know, bringing Cody in and then switching Fast to where Justin or Doyle could play. So I thought that was slightly bizarre, to be quite honest. I'm pleased Cody played, and I thought he did okay. He didn't fill himself with a glory for their goal, but you know, I thought he did well. But why you would move Fast across to the left and not play either Doyle or Justin seemed a little bit bizarre. But at least he brought Cody in and gave him a game. So yeah, I was pleased that he did that.
And Killer, it would kind of be illogical now not to play Cody for the remaining games. Wouldn't it? Having sort of put his hands up and said, look, I've got it wrong. We do need that steel. We do need that leadership. Mm. It'd be very odd if he now dropped him for Saints, wouldn't it?
You'd have thought so. It's another one of these things, isn't it? Where with Maresco, he's made quite a lot of decisions this season, hasn't he? That we've kind of thought that's an odd one. And then he's realised it's odd. Do you know what I mean? Always playing Patson Daka, odd one. Turns out he was absolutely wrong. Not playing Cody. Turns out he was wrong. We did need a leader in there. It just seemed a little bit with Maresca that he's got a bad decision in him. And I know you can say that about all football managers, but I think sometimes, you know, if there was 10 guys in a pub, or girls, or it doesn't make any difference, and you're having a chat about opinions and stuff, it's just amazing sometimes how most people agree on the same thing. Most people would have agreed that Patson Daka wasn't good enough, but yet it's taken Enzo all these games to realise it. I don't know what your view is on that, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I said last week, Killer, that, you know, and the thing is, when we've just come off a win, you don't want to be too negative. And actually, you know, we've probably got a couple of shows left this season, haven't we? Hopefully, these shows are going to be quite buoyant. But I think, you know, there's two things we do need to address before the end of the season, albeit that we get promoted. One is the FFP stuff and the accounts that have come out. And we said we'd leave that just until you were back, because we've had a review of the accounts, which is obviously different to FFP. So we need to do that. The other thing we probably, you know, need to do is agree a position on where we sit on Enzo, Killer. And I did say to Norm last week, I think my mind's made up. You know, I think, you know, if we do get over the line, we're limping over the line. I mean, you know, every time we're mentioned in any of the media, it's Leicester are doing everything they can not to get promoted, aren't they? We've chucked away an incredible lead, and we have got this incredible squad that, you know, it's just got worse and worse. And I just said last week to Norm that I thought if the season had been the other way round, I think he probably would have been sacked halfway through it. It's worrying that the team's got a lot worse rather than better.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a slow burn. It's exactly what we've said, Tim. This is the best team squad that's ever been in the Championship. Now, of course, a manager could have got it horribly wrong, but I think you would have had to have been a really, really poor manager not to have managed this Leicester City team to the title. We've lost 10 games. I think that's at least five or six too many for how good that squad is. We have, like you say, we are literally limping. We're like watching that London Marathon runner where he's literally just about to roll over, but you're thinking he might just have enough rolls to get him over the finishing line. It's one of those big question marks about Enzo. I've noticed that he was linked at the weekend with Sevilla. And
was he really?
Yeah, and it's one of those situations where you think to yourself, that could actually work for all parties. It would mean we don't sack him. He goes off his own volition. Therefore, we never get accused of sacking somebody who actually got us promoted. But the worry is, for me, it's kind of like, what do you do? Do you go with your gut here and go, does it feel like we've got a Premier League manager? Now, the best comparison I can make is Vincent Kompany at Burnley. When they sort of went up last season, what you got the feeling with them is that they still had a manager with a really poor squad that could just about do a job there. And he is. You know, they've just about got their fists up. They're just about making a fight of it in a league where they have no right to do that. The worry I've got with Enzo is whether or not actually this is going to be one of these discussions where very quickly, back end of September, beginning of October, we're talking about, did we make a mistake not replacing him in August? And of course, There are a couple of really good names out there, isn't there? Graham Potter's not found a club. Steve Cooper, we know, can do a job. You know, and there's a few of them. Jose Mourinho might fancy a go down here. Who knows? Do you know what I mean? But all I'm saying is, yeah, I think from my point of view, I'm with you, Tim. I would go for the change.
Well, what about you, Noam? I don't think I actually asked you last week. I was too busy rattling on my own.
I'm not 100%. I think if I was, my hand was forced, I would probably reluctantly say change, because it does seem a little bit overly expectant and almost unbelievable to suggest that, you know, a manager that's got us promoted in a season where you're going to need, you know, such high levels of points to guarantee that, because any other year we'd have already been up. I think it feels a bit harsh, but my head just says that there's not enough. He doesn't appear to have learned enough or anything massively with regards to having this plan B. And I just don't think a club like Leicester, who will struggle in the Premier League with or without points deductions, you know, we're not going to finish fourth or fifth again. I think it's, you know, we are going to have to adapt. So I think with that in mind, I would have to say that he probably would have to go. Although, so like Killers alluded to, if he's linked to somewhere else and then chose to go of his own volition, that would be fine. The flip for me to that is that, has he got time to learn? Now, actually, can he just make some adjustments? Because he is a young coach. And if he looks back on the season and thinks, I could have done these things better, and with that experience, maybe with the shackles off and the pressure of not desperately trying to get promotion, if he could change and make some small adjustments, then I think he may work. But yeah, gut feeling would be probably just find a way of letting him go without costing us any money.
I have to say, I mean, I think if there were neutrals listening into this, and there are some, aren't there? We have got some neutral listeners. I think they must be like throwing their teacups at their iPhone or something like that, because it sounds ridiculous that all three of us are saying about a guy who's got the club at the top of the league on the brink of the Premier League that we would get rid of him. And by the way, listeners, would love to hear your opinion, particularly if you think we're wrong about this, at leicestercitypubcast@gmail.com. Let us know, because I just feel like neutrals that I know, Killer, I'm sure they'd be saying, what are you on about? As Norm said, you're not going to finish top four or five in the Premier League anyway. So, you know, go with a guy that's just won the league for you, if we do.
I get that. I absolutely get that. And it seems a very odd conversation, but it still fundamentally comes down to the principle of, this is the best squad that's ever been in the Championship. And we have to remember that. This is a squad where you can just go through man for man, can't you? Ricardo Pereira, Wilf Ndidi, Harry Winks, Keenan Dewsbury-Hall will probably be playing for a top eight football, Premier League football club next season. And we've had him in the Championship. What is the chance of that ever happening again? And because of all those things, I think we have a right as football fans to say, did he make the best of the opportunity have in terms of... Because let's be honest, let's be absolutely frank about it. This Leicester City team should have finished on 115 points. And that's not just 115 points with him at the helm. That's 115 points with Harry Bassett at the helm. Do you know what I mean? The squad was that good. And of course, what we're talking about essentially is, we're not talking about a manager that might have got us promoted. We're assuming that he is. We're actually talking about really the last third of the season, where there have been so many questions and he simply hasn't provided answers. You know, we're talking about away games at Bristol City, Plymouth, Millwall. Next season, it's going to be Brentford, Brighton, Manchester City. You know, even the teams that aren't in the top six, your Brightons and your Brentfords and your Crystal Palaces, they're going to be such sterner opposition than the dross that we've just mentioned. And we didn't score a single goal in those three games. He had no answers at all. He was clueless. That's the worry. So we're just really talking about, as much as anything else, we need a Premier League quality manager. I don't think Enzo's that guy. That's just my view.
Well, it's all of our views, and it you know, it is quite amazing. It's a slightly different question then on the same topic, and we'll come on to the fun double game week we've got coming up, which will absolutely define our season after this. But so slightly different slant on the question, Norm. Do you see any way that Top and Susan Whelan do fire him?
I honestly can't really answer that, apart from, again, if my arm's twisted, I would suggest no. I mean, because they don't fire people when they need to be fired because we're getting relegated. I would imagine that they wouldn't. I can't see them doing that. You know, I can't see them even having. I doubt they're even having a conversation amongst themselves. I suspect if we get promoted, it'll be, oh, brilliant, we've done this, and they probably won't look at the bigger picture.
And just before I ask you the same question, Killer, and I know this isn't going to work for our listeners because they're listening to it tomorrow, but get in there. Middlesbrough have just scored. Absolute beauty. early in the game. Right, Killer, what about you? So I'm with. I don't think there's much chance at all of them firing him.
No, I don't think there's any. And to be fair to Top, you know, he's been. Brendan Rodgers stayed about 6 months longer than he should have done. And to be fair, it probably only cost the club about 200 million, that decision to keep him a bit longer, didn't it? Again, you could have probably got any jackass in around about October and kept that less.
I think we did get one in at the end, didn't we?
Well, we got one in. It was the wrong guy. And there is an argument to say it was too late. You know, yeah. I think it was maybe a month too late, but no, I don't think there's any chance at all that they will sack him. And do you know what? Fair play, because there is that argument in football of you can't keep swapping and changing your manager. You've got to stick with who you've got. You've got to let the manager work and do it his way. And there is a very solid argument to say, look, your objective was to get promotion. If he achieves that, what are you moaning at? So there is that counter argument. And I think, okay, I'll throw this back at you then. If what percentage of you says sack him? Because to me, it's probably about 70. There is still a 30% kind of like, maybe we should stick with him. So what's your percentage you should sack him to?
I'm more than 70. I kind of like to think about a challenge and an issue and then come to a fairly firm decision rather than, you know, in the case of a football manager, it's easy to flip-flop every week, isn't it, when you've got a win or a lot. I'm more in the 90. I think I've seen enough. And I just parrot what you said, Killer. I mean, I've always been a big believer in this that, you know, if you've got all the resources, it doesn't matter what industry it is. You know, if you run a Tesco's and the corner shop next door is outperforming you, it ain't good enough, is it? You're running the Tesco's, you're supposed to be outperforming the corner shop. And it's exactly the same thing. And I also do look at Burnley have come back a little bit, but I do see the parallels. And I think they've largely had teams wiping the floor with them all season. I suspect they will go down. I thought the three that went up would come back down. Sincerely hope that Notts Forest are going to prove me wrong on that, but I think they probably will go down. And it's looked, you know, other than the last two or three weeks, it's looked like that all season. I think we'll be like them, but I now think, Norm, in a worse situation because of the situation financially for us and with this transfer embargo. So how would you answer Killer's question?
I think I'd be more aligned with Killer than you. I'm certainly not 90% get rid, because there's just the heartstrings just tugging at the fact that it just feels wrong to get rid of someone that's potentially got us 100 points and promotion. But I do keep coming back to the fact of my, you know, privately, and when I'm speaking to people off air. And before the West Brom match, I feel that we're in a position in spite of Enzo, not because of him. And if you feel like that, then really, that's the answer, isn't it? He's got to go. But I think, yeah, 65-70% he would go. If he stayed, I wouldn't be absolutely devastated. But, you know, sometimes it's better than the devil you know. But if there is people that we could get in, like you say, like Graham Potter, Cooper, then I can see the benefits of that kind of manager and how they've galvanized teams and pushed them in the right direction. So I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but Leeds have just equalized.
Oh, no. We're just going to ruin this show, aren't we, with it? Everyone's going, I know.
We know the score. Why are you sort of building tension into it?
Yeah, sorry. Listen, oh, no, Leeds have just equalized. This could be a season defining. Oh, you already know.
Yeah. Just changing the subject slightly. I'd be really quite interested to hear what any listeners that I just think the balance of Leicester fans would agree with us. Do you not, Killer? I think they would. I don't think by much. I think it might be 60-40.
It's an interesting one. I mean, I was having a chat with a bunch of guys recently, really kind of just after the Millwall game, and yeah, there was a lot in the hashtag clueless camp. There's no doubt about it, but plenty that turned around and said, what are you talking about? He came in with an objective. We should still achieve that objective. I've not spoken to too many people since West Brom. You would imagine, therefore, the pro Enzo people are kind of like, well, we got the result and stuff. But of course, you're still left looking at that performance and going, hang on a minute. We needed Hamza Chowdhury to keep a hat trick of goals out for us to. It's all a bit worrying.
It'd be a hell of an employment tribunal, though, wouldn't it? It's like, I've just won the league at the first attempt.
Yeah, can you imagine his compensation?
just change the subject. A question. I don't know the answer. I should probably have asked you this before the show. I'll direct it at Norm, because he tends to know this sort of stuff. But if not, Killer, perhaps you know as well. So the FFP charge, we're not going to go into that tonight, but we know we're under a transfer embargo, Norm. How do either of you know, starting with Norm, how we get out of the transfer embargo?
I think by getting promoted, because I think it's the Football League that have put us in under the transfer embargo, not the Premier League. So I think we've upset the Football League by basically winning that battle about saying that we're not going to comply with what you tell us to. You can, you know, go and do one. And I suspect they're trying to make an example of us. But I would imagine, and again, I do not know this for a fact, but it seems to me if it's them, if we're in the Premier League, then there is no transfer embargo. I also suspect there'll be a way that we can discuss it and say, well, we need to be able to do this, that, and the other. You know, our plan is to sell this, and this player to try and bring us more in line, blah, blah, blah. And I would imagine they'll come to some agreement where the embargo would be lifted.
Do you see that, Killer? Because the sort of counter to Norm's argument is the points deduction is going to happen whether we're in the Premier League or the EFL.
But again... Going on what Norm said, my understanding is it's two separate silos. And when you move from one silo to the other, this is why it's difficult to enforce various parts of any legislation that they've got. The model of the Premier League is built around transfer activity. Okay, the reason they give football teams so much money is they go out and buy the best players in the world. It enhances the product. Therefore, that Sky sell more. Sell more licenses. That's it. So there's no way that Leicester City are going to get a transfer embargo in the Premier League, because that's the model. They'll be breaking the model. They want Leicester City, even though they might have to scratch around, to still be bringing in the world's best talent into their league. So I suspect, should we go up, hopefully we will, it will be a points deduction, but that will be it.
I think how quickly that's lifted, if it is lifted, is going to be quite important for us, isn't it? Because, you know, we've clearly going to have an awful lot of sorting out to do in the summer, one way or the other. And what one guy, Norm, that springs to mind is Fatawu straight away, because I'm sure we'd want to be signing him up. He's apparently played the requisite amount of games now. I don't know whether that means that we can automatically sign him if we want to, but at the very least, there was a requisite amount of games that he had to play if he were to be transferred to us.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be disappointing to not be able to sign a player like that. But I think that if we're out of the transfer, if we've not got a transfer embargo, irrespective of financial fair play and points deductions, we're still going to be, you know, because we're in the Premier League and for the money that that brings in, we are still going to be in a position where we will be able to sign some players and we will get rid of players and there will be some money coming in. So I still think we'd sign, we'd end up being able to get him as long as, of course, we are in the Premier League. And of course, listeners, you will already know this, but Leeds have taken the lead.
Yeah, Leeds have gone 2-1 up. Just to add the tension to this show, listeners, do keep listening if you want to find out what the score is around about 28 minutes when we go off.
Do you think we could string this show out for another 70 minutes? Right, let's come on in. Let's talk about Saints then, Killer. I don't know what to say really. I mean, they were in good form, we weren't. We've now won, they lost.
Yeah, but they played apparently pretty well. We didn't play very well at all. Look, it's the Championship, Tim. Anything can happen. I mean, you know, as we speak at the minute, Leeds United are winning at Middlesbrough. Could very well, listeners, go on and lose tonight. Only you will know. Of course, we will be locked in the pub and no one will ever tell us the score.
apart from
Norm. So it's the Championship. Going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. One thing for certain, Southampton guaranteed the playoffs. They're going to come at us for sure. I think it could be another West Brom-style evening. I think it could be backs against the wall and hopefully Hamza Chowdhury to the rescue yet again.
Norm, what do you think about Saints then on the same sort of lines?
Well, I think Southampton have been very good this season. I mean, obviously they went on that spectacular undefeated run. I think they were almost a surprise team throughout a lot of the season, where they just had this terrible start and looked like they were struggling. But you know, since then have shown to be a very, very good footballing side, and you know, I think are up there with us with the kind of the quality of their squad. So kind of surprised to see that they probably won't make automatic, but they've certainly put in a big good fist of it. I think what I'm beginning to realise is, because of the pressures of the Championship, what seems to happen is when you know we all know that no one appears to want to go up, it seems to be linked to getting in a position where you find yourself with it in your hands, and then you start to sort of almost panic. I mean, all the teams at the top are having their jitters. You know, it's no great surprise. We had a great run earlier on in the season, didn't we? And we lost a couple of games. Luckily, we came back and did another run. Southampton had a great run, lost some games. They've come back a bit. Leeds had their great run. They're losing some. They've only won 1 in 5 before tonight. It's all, you know, all the teams have moments where they're going to struggle. But Southampton have undoubtedly got enough to be able to hurt us. I think the fact that they'll be having to come at us to try and get something, like I said earlier, for me, that's what will help us, because I think that will help us play our game. And I suspect it'll be open. I'm sure it'll be tense, but I do still fancy us, of course, obviously, to go on and win the game.
And then after that, Killer, we've got Preston a week tonight.
Yeah. They've had a funny old season, haven't they, Preston? Because it seems about 28 months ago, but they actually started really well, didn't they? We were sort of talking about potentially could they be dark horses in terms of certainly getting into the playoffs. Sandwiched at the minute in 10th, on that band of teams, along with Middlesbrough, who are on 63 points. By the way, listeners, as it stands at the moment, it would appear that Middlesbrough will remain on 63 points, but obviously we shall see. A winnable game, Tim. That's all I can say. But I'm with you and Norm. The highly predictable Championship. Nothing is predictable. Therefore, you know, in terms of predicting, bit of a lottery.
That one, Norm. Preston will definitely have nothing to play for. So,
a bit like Bristol City.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Yes.
Preston already have nothing to play for. Look. With their last home game, I'm sure, so they'll want to go out with a with a bang that they started the season very well, so we know that they can play. But you would expect that whatever happens, that I think there's a very reasonable chance that if we beat Preston, we'll probably be promoted. I'm not obviously not necessarily, but and if we can't go away to a team that's got nothing to play for and put in a performance when we know what's on the line, then well, frankly, we wouldn't deserve it. But yeah, I'm confident that we should be able to go there and get the result, that whatever result it is that we need, and hopefully after tomorrow we'll know that a victory would see us promoted. And you wouldn't want to be relying on having to get something on the last game of the season, as far as I'm concerned. Irrespective of whether it's Blackburn at home and you'd fancy it, you just don't. I'm just not interested in that. We spent most of the season expecting to have been promoted in like February. And now to the fact that we've got three games left and we've still no guarantees that we are going to be promoted, is not how it was meant to be.
And I'm very cross.
I'm slightly
that down.
Right then, onto the predictor table with a fabulous drink. What is Trumpwell's frothy IPA? Last week against West Brom, Killer and I got the result bang on 2-1. Norm went 3-1, leaving Norm on 38. And it's a two-way shootout, surely now, Killer. You're on 44. I'm on 45. I'll go first because I'm going to open the door for you, Killer. I am going to stick with what I said last week. I think we're going to lose to Saints. I'll put a bit of meat on the bones. I think we weren't very good. I think the pressure is going to be enormous tomorrow night, particularly if Leeds have won. It's almost like it's a bit of an as you were again. And I also don't think Vardy will play, just because it's so soon after the Saturday game. I hope I'm wrong about that, but I suspect he won't. That will therefore presumably reopen the door for Dakar, unless he surprises us again with Cannon. Either way, it ain't going to be Vardy. The only little shaft of light is I think there's a chance of Ricardo coming back for this one, which would help. But I'm going to go, Killer. Leicester, then this would be awful. Leicester City 0, Southampton 1.
Yeah, okay. Look, I'm going to counteract that. I think Leicester are going to win. I'm going to say that on the basis of all Leicester City's problems predominantly recently have been away from home. The home form's actually been okay, which is why I thought we'd beat West Brom, and it's why I think we're going to beat Southampton. I'm going to stick with the fancy Dan, no glamour 2-1 scoreline.
No, I'm leaving you to be judge and jury. We know which way this one's going.
Of course, I've got to. How many points am I on? I'm 38.
Yeah. So you're 6 behind Killer and
seven behind me.
So I can't win it. I can't win it anyway, because I can't get 7. We have got 3 games left. I'm going to go for.
We'll just match his score, Killer, for the rest of it.
No, I was going to go for 2-1, but I'm going to be a little bit bolder again, like I was against West Brom. I'm going to go for. Even though I find it things a little unlikely, I'm going to stick my neck out and go for 3-1 to Leicester.
Really, really hope you two are right. Otherwise, next week's show could be back down in the doom. Right, guys, final thoughts, Killer.
Final thoughts are we doing the predictor for Preston?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
We get carried away. Yeah,
that's one of the more important
negativity.
Thoughts.
We're going to lose Southampton.
I'll go first. 3-0 Leicester.
Okay. I'm going to continue to stick with what I said. I'm going to say 1-1.
Okay. I will stick with my 2-1 Leicester.
Yeah, good point, Killer. Thanks for rescuing that. Have you got anything you can need to remind me of, Norman, your final thoughts?
No, nothing to remind you of, but I'm just going to say this weekend, you've got to love VAR, haven't you? What it did to two of our main rivals, Forest and Coventry.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's all, folks. We're all off to properly watch Borough v Leeds. Speak to you next week. It's Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.